Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the BA Sales Kennel Cal Holistic Healing Hour with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill, Grandpa Bill's Grunts and Groans, and this daily YouTube channel offering, where we usually are here for about 15, 25 minutes. Welcome one and all, ubiquitous audience, regulars, however you got here, continue to do so, continue to pay it forward. We're going exponentially with your help by paying it forward. Thanks for doing so. This is where I usually outline my three daily audio podcasts, now in my sixth year running. My two church mice, Peter and Paul, have been here all through it. 7 days a week, 365, and it'll be the sixth year anniversary officially, as August, I believe, becomes this calendar year in 2024. So today, I want to catch up a little bit for 15, 25 minutes again. Welcome one and all, however you got here. Some of you by our invite. If you're new, thank you. Everybody, like us, share us, give us a thumbs up. Grandpa Bill's at Bill Holt, 8792. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe where you're comfortable in doing so. We'll continue to grow exponentially. Interact at my shows with the interactive poll daily. I'll be having another in-studio guest again tomorrow, as it becomes, on February 2nd at the time of this taping. Once again, guest Tim Doyle from China, time zone difference and what have you. That interview probably will be released and available Saturday the 3rd as it becomes. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And this is already Tim's probably fourth appearance this calendar year. Now in February, it'll be obviously his first visit. For February, it's the first of many throughout the year. We've embraced several prelude shows, several interview shows. Tim was a guest three times last calendar year. And this all leads up to what he'll be talking about in part probably tomorrow, the new membership program and wherever else he goes. I'm actually going to be kind of a co-host on his platform, more about that, so we can try to pull this thing off. We've had a lot of internet interference with parent company servers, which are spread throughout Europe. Nobody has control of those and what goes on up in the sky of recent note. And we've been able to glean parts and participles of those attempted interviews this calendar year. Audio-wise, and there's been snippets, but they just haven't been quite what we want them to be. So we're going to shoot for another interview with Tim tomorrow on the VDO.org platform. I'll be talking more about that as I get more acclimated to it by being a co-host, whatever. Tim and I are in this together. It's our podcast. It happens to be his chat room, if you will, in the VDO.org. So we're going to attempt it that way and capture it from there, and then it'll go out to YouTube, Spotify, and all the other platforms that I'm blessed to be heard on audio-wise. Okay, so that's Tim. And then Byron Athene will be sometime at the tail end of this month, which is a leap year, of course, maybe the very last day. That'll be appearance number 7 overall for Byron, the second one this calendar year. He was with me 5 times last year. We just did a very interesting archival show about rotoscoping. If you haven't had an opportunity to check out that archival show, please do. And that will lead into whatever Byron and I will be talking about next within his psychiatry. I keep wanting to say psychology, and I think I made that error in another video. You guys all know about Toys in the Attic. It's a psychiatry business that we've talked about many times with Byron. Then I have 3 upcoming guests that will be brand new for me and us and this platform here, if that all comes to fruition. On the 12th, coincidentally, that day times 3, and then when March becomes, I have return guests from last year. Very fun, interesting, intriguing guest, Madonna Hannah. Can't wait to welcome her back. I'm dealing with a lot of agencies that have reached out with their representations of fellow podcasters, authors, and what have you. Stay tuned for those, and there'll be appropriate prelude shows with those. Also, I'm going to be talking about, in probably my next taping of an audio show at the Holistic Healing Hour show, revisiting one of my bucket list techniques, the magnetic memory method that I've been talking about a lot over the last 13 months. Tea Time guest last year, the originator, creator, Dr. Anthony Metivier, with the PhD credentials, and I'm now 13 months entrenched into the program. Love all of his works. He will be a guest this calendar year, probably after the first quarter, after March, April, because it's probably going to be embraced around two more books that he's co-authoring as we speak. And usually we embrace his appearances around that. We have a lot of fun talking about music, joint interests. And he shared a lot of really fun facts with us. I enjoy having Dr. Anthony on the show so much. I admire him so much. And I'm about to do another mnemonic virtual interview, still batting around in my head, with St. Augustine, who I just revisited the video of Dr. Metivier, well, I don't know, for my second time, I believe. And I'm going through his magnetic memory method program now in 13 months for the third time through. And I'm basically back at the free PDF version, how I got introduced over a year ago and started out knowing that I would sign up of my own volition for his program and still enjoy it. So I'm back at the free PDF sessions and sections again for my third time going through to continue to usurp the information. It's like leftover food when you reheat it. It's so good the first time, but especially with a scattered brain and what have you, to usurp more information that you missed the first time around. I like to go through these things in my bucket list. So the magnetic memory method is a bucket list. We'll be talking about thehealer.com program with Dr. Suak more intensely upcoming somewhere along the way this calendar year. Again, Dr. Suak will be a guest on my show. We've talked about it a lot last year. He's a doctor. There's a lot going on in his life with his practice, some laws here in Maine, and he just got a new house. He's a doctor. He'll be here. That probably will be later than sooner for the obvious reasons. We'll be talking much more about his healer products, my certification as a home healer through his home healer certification program, my third year running. And those webinars are free to the public once a month and then of your own volition if you care to join us. There's a nice dichotomy and blend of audience members there, patients, which is I'm a patient of his private practice. He also was my Reiki sensei, master teacher in Ceylon when I took Reiki 1. And then I'll be talking about Dave Nelson at the Reiki Institute for Reiki 2 and 3. I completed 2, got certified on 1 and 2 online through Dave's Reiki Institute. I'm going back and forth on Reiki 3, studying it to be certified. And that's a bucket list thing that I'm in and out of. I'm self-teaching Mandarin, using the magnetic memory method, self-teaching the language. I'll be and have been incorporating a lot of the pinions and the total inflection, which I need a lot of work on, and the symbols of the handwriting, which I really need a lot of work on. I embarked in earnest on that campaign December 1st of last year, and I'm on a seven-month sojourn through June 30th to continue to do what I'm going to show you in a second, a notebook, pinions, different words, vocabulary, poems, Chinese songs, continuing to write about the culture overall, and then assimilating that information in a series of lessons of my self-teaching that as when June 30th becomes, and the summer begins, my granddaughter, Ada, who I've talked about forever and ever, those of you that have come to the show, thus the Grandpa Bill connotation. We used to have a business in her name long ago, far away. I'm retired. She used to help me out at the Animal Refuge League and support long ago and far away when she was much younger, when I was actively doing those types of things. So Ada, now in her junior year, you know, a little bit better than half year through, she's Mandarin 3, well-versed. She can speak it. She can write it. She understands it. She maxed the course. She got an A-plus in it. She's going to be my tutor in the summer as it becomes, basically going through these lessons that I'm doing and saying, wow, Grandpa Bill, you really need a lot of help. I joke a little bit, but actually tutor me, rank, point out where I went awry, all of it, tutor me. And I've already assimilated some MP4s and 3s that will be in the package, and we are communicating kind of sort of. She has a pretty stringent curricula in high school, so, you know, this is all for her benefit. For she aspires to go to secondary education. She still has her senior year to go. So these are all things to put as bullet points on her college application. And then in the not that far future, when she's out and about in career choices and all of that, as they do resumes, data sheets, or the Lord only knows what the terminology and process would be at that time. So how are we doing on overall time? Real good. Those are all facets of my shows, plural, that I'll be interjecting. Quickly, here's the book that I've held up before, where I'm actually listing vegetables, foodstuffs, foods, and spices, basically, with our alphabet in, you know, A to Z, you know, apples, avocados, etc., all the way down through zucchini, if you will, with foodstuffs, maybe fish, just basically food, vegetables, fruits, and maybe spices. And then going back and handwriting the pinions of the Mandarin words for the English translation. I will be doing the symbols. I haven't handwritten them out. They're in a separate book that I'll be working on. And I have a very good app for anybody that's doing this. And many of you might be familiar with it, Pleco. It's wonderful for that. Practicing of the symbols and how to write them and listening to the tonal inflection. And I'm also listening to many online videos in Mandarin. I've even watched some movies in Chinese Mandarin. And again, listening to Chinese music because I just love music. And then the lyrics and learning some poetry. And I've always been a Confucius fan. So I'm doing notebooks. I'm doing videos. I'm doing MP3s. I'm doing lessons. I'm doing prepositions, interjections, all that kind of stuff. English to Mandarin, Mandarin to English over this sojourn. It will all be put in a old-fashioned three-bound, ring-bound, spiral-bound notebook with sheet protectors, where the sheets that I've done will all be indexed as the poems, the songs, and so forth. Okay, that's myself teaching Mandarin that you'll hear me incorporate in my 3 shows. It's a self-serving, but it's a technique to play to the 5 senses that we talk about at the holistic healing, food for the mind, the body, and the soul. Always talking about the multi-diversified subjects that I do talk about. Meditation, Reiki, Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu, Shogun, Shaolin, Taoist. We've talked about all of things, these things, the culture, the history, and also Japanese history, Ayurveda, Middle Eastern, Native American medicine, Aboriginal medicine, Indigenous tribe medicine, so many modalities that I was blessed to be in, very much retired now in my 2nd year, but I still do most of this in Goodwill Ambassadorship. This is my way of giving back. In lieu of, in all honesty, when I used to be able to give to so many things financially, that there's no way in heck I can do that now on a fixed income in retirement. And I do that very minimally financially when, where, and how I can. But I'm doing this to help animals, people, plants, the planet, based on what I was blessed to know in a career, and the, mostly the people that I was extremely blessed to have enter my life, have on my shows, basically doctors, lawyers, butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers, again, literally and figuratively, Main Street, Portland, Maine, Main Street, USA, and Main Street around the world. I've been blessed. I am global. A la Tim Doyle, just one example from China, Dr. Anthony Mativier from Australia. I've spoken to many folks from New Zealand, France, China, England, Italy, Greece. It's a short list. I've been blessed. France, Austria, Spain, Portugal. And again, it's the listening audience with your help, paying it forward, the intuitive groups I've been blessed to be in, and all of us paying it forward together. Your audience, my audience, their audience, your social media, my social media, your groups, our groups, all peacefully, calmly, with repose, arm in arm, communally. That's powerful. That's powerful. I'll be talking more about the weekly coherence meeting that I'm blessed to be a guest at, and it's therapy for me each and every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, led by a friend, business constituent, and oh, so much more. Seth Leif Brzezinski, our guided everything. Mediator, meditator, our guide at the meditation. Do join us. We're always looking for the 100th monkey mind and getting out of the vortex that 95% of us, not myself anymore, took a long time, are in. And usually that spiraling can predetermine your future. We talked a lot about Joe Dispenza in particular. Documentaries, Gaia. We have all kinds of important and imparted star seeds there. Laura Eisenhower, that's so gracious, that behind the whole Gaia thing, Beta Austin, everybody that's there brings so much knowledge, wealth, experience, different forms of all of these with expertise within their audience, our audience. That's one intuitive group of the many. Between the three shows that I do daily, the main mentor moments in business and in life, mostly in life now, fully retired, very much part-time share, where y'all come, some of you invited audience here that are nurturing your own audiences, part-time income share potentiality in two different membership clubs, one wholesale, health and wellness, CTFO, changing the future outcome. Happy client, 67 plus months and counting. I've talked about SmartShip, plenty of still shots, videos, product. I'm a product of the product. I use all their products. Love them. The coolest collectible coin club, 7K, BH Sales. It's great for me. I love it. The many attributes of membership. My favorite one is Autosaver, which allows me and anyone else to do small incremental amounts of purchasing of gold, silver, and precious metals. We talk about those at the business shows. We also talk about the alchemy of gold and silver at all of my shows. I just did a couple of shows of those. That'll be coming back. Woo! Deep calming breath, trying to catch up for a lot of things here. What I'd like to do, and if you're still here, God bless you, stay with me. Lots of times I do a play goofing around on the old Gene Shalit Critics Corner. For those of us, the most of you are of my age in these shows. However, I've been blessed. I'm represented in the listening audience with Gen Zers and millennials, mostly, predominantly, we Silver Streakers. Workouts for Geriatrics, a.k.a. Silver Streakers. It's good for all kids from 1 to 92 because it's about health and wellness. And when we get to the business shows, we're applicable. Pardon me. It's about healthy, plant-based, well-crafted foods and clays and tinctures and clean water and sustenance for food and water for the body, but food for the mind, the body, and the soul through the meditations and all the aforementioned. This is a book I started reading when I was like 8 years old. It was published in the 50s by one of my many heroes, and I've read this book many times. recently in excerpts from D.C. Jarvis, the Vermont folk medicine. He was light years ahead of himself back in the 50s. I love this book, and it's The Folk Medicine, A Vermont Doctor's Guide to Good Health by D.C. Jarvis, M.D. I think I was 4 years old when this was published. I'm going to try to document that for you real quickly. Yep, I'm sorry. Well, no, I was spot on. 1958, February was the first publishing. Grandpa Bill was indeed 4 years old. And I read the book in the 60s when I was about 8 years old, I believe. However old I was, I read it in the 60s. And then I've read it many times over the years, in business, out of business. I've always had a fascination with the ocean, history, nature. So I want to fast forward, and you'll be hearing in my complete guide of natural medicines, which we talk about a lot of the elements, such as potassium, in this chapter. And I have a very interesting bookmark here for a reason. This is another one of my favorite poems. He that plants trees loves others besides himself, Thomas Fuller. And there's a beautiful cardinal. And my sister Kay, who probably hasn't come through here in a really long time. She used to come through, but I'll remind her of this. We just talked about cardinals on the phone, my sister Kay, and about a passing of one of our siblings a couple years ago. And I've talked about Grandma Nancy here, an indigenous lady who's been on the holistic actions about animals, but how the indigenous tribe also, very much so with the tribal beliefs, believe in the human reincarnation. One of their beliefs is that cardinals are significations coming back of a lost loved one. And I'll expand upon stories that are crazy about cardinals. And yeah, I have my belief on that, and I'll expand upon that. So my sister and I, one of my two surviving, we're talking about our third deceased one, that I don't know. I hold some stock in reincarnation of cardinals and Indians' prowess in philosophies. Anyhow, that's a bookmark with poetry that I also have so much of an appreciation for. That's Grandpa Bill's Scattered Brain. Stay with me. Okay, so potassium and its uses, you'll hear more about in the Complete Guide of Natural Medicines. I have another bookmark guide because I want to talk about the usefulness of kelp. Back in the 50s, when he authored this book, D.C. Jarvis, as the Vermont folk medicine, he was a veterinarian, folk doctor, country doctor in Vermont in those days, and he highly touted kelp. And real quickly, thanks for ingratiating me, but hey, it's my show. Here's a quick prayer for healing. I won't read it here, but I will and have before. And it's called the Prayer for Healing and Hope. I'll read that at my audio show that correlates and coordinates with this a little bit later. So you'll be hearing. And it's about the miracle of Lourdes in France. It's also from a family member of my wife, who was a nun in her life, now retired, who actually had this prayer and a mass healing card for my wife, her niece, drawn up. And it's a very inspirational. I'll leave you with this direct quote. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. That's 2 Kings 25 for those of us that hold that faction at a different show. Okay, the usefulness of kelp. Thanks for being patient. Welcome again, everybody. We're just about at the 14-minute mark. I'll go another 5 to 10 minutes, and that'll be the session for today. So verbatim, D.C. Jarvis, Folk Medicine, actually chapter 10 in the book, The Usefulness of Kelp. Verbatim, and I'll expand upon this at the audio shows. Here we go. The advantages of civilization are many, but it has its disadvantages also. The lack of mineral-bearing food is a major disadvantage. The composition of the human body being mineral, it is of utmost importance that it should be maintained by the needed minerals. Ocean, kelp, furnishes such a maintaining agent. Seawater is only in the sense that water is the dominant compound. It is a most complex liquid containing about 3.5% of dissolved inorganic compounds. Quick friendly reminder, in 1958, at time of authoring this book, continuing verbatim, his words, D.C. Jarvis, for my audio folks that might hear this later, that aren't in studio to see the video, or come across my YouTubes or what have you. So continuing, kelp growing in the sea converts these inorganic compounds into organic form. Being the lowest portion of the surface of the earth, the ocean is the catch basin into which chemical substance of every kind have dumped by the many moving forces in nature. Loose and transportable materials are either moved directly and swiftly or indirectly by degrees downward to the sea. Particles are carried bodily by wind, water course, and glacier. Other substances are dissolved in water and transported to the sea, where they are caught as the ocean became a reservoir or becomes a reservoir of accumulated wealth in chemical materials, which makes the resources of the land appear insignificant by comparison. 1958, the oceans were most assuredly mineral rich before the pollution, which has impugned everything over the subsequent, when I used to be able to do math 52 years ago, I guess that is, or more, right? 56 years ago, my apologies, in 1958. No, my God, it's way older than that. Damaged brain, folks. It was 1958 and that duration of time in between. And I've often said my wife would have to get on camera, and she never will do that, but she'll tell you at some point. I have said this a multitude of times off camera. I'll be long gone. I still fervently believe all these evil diseases and whatever, the ultimate cure will come from the ocean. The ultimate cure will come from the ocean. I'm not Nostradamus. I'm not predicting the future. It's fervently a belief of mine. I'm not sure I'll be here to witness it. However, if promising research is allowed to develop, there's lots of good things happening in the real world with proven documentable third-party test analysis, scientifically documented by, yes, doctors that also went to medical school. Shocking, isn't it? D.C. Jarvis, continuing. The surface area of the Earth in 1958 was 196,950,277 square miles. Of this area in 1958, 70.73%, or 139,295,000 square miles, are occupied by the ocean in 1958. The average depth of the ocean is estimated to be 2.38 miles, while the greatest depth yet found is 6.7 miles in the Philippine Trench near Mindanao, more than a mile deep. And just to protect the innocent, it's a crazy world now. Before y'all do leave me a message at the message board, I just said at least five times in 1958. Of course, all of that has changed when I learn how to do math. Oh, I'm teasing a little bit. You guys do know that, right? I have a crazy sense of humor, and I do have some mental issues. It's 66 years ago. I'm kind of playing to the theme of interjecting humor as well. A little bit. So am I the fool on the hill or sly as a fox? Or somewhere in between, I query. So we do not know the composition of the first primitive seas. We do know, however, that throughout the ages, many forces have been bringing material to the oceans from outer space. 1958, from the interior of the Earth and from the land. Meteors or cosmic dust arriving on the Earth have 7 chances out of 10 of falling in the ocean. Numerous rock meteors, as well as those of iron and nickel, are found strewn at the bottom of the sea. Volcanoes have contributed much to the ocean, either directly or by dust thrown high into the atmosphere to be carried by the wind over the ocean and brought down by rain. Submarine fissures and springs bring materials from the interior of the Earth. Glaciers rasp out rocks, mud, and debris, and when they arrive at the shore, yield icebergs to drift to sea, where they melt and drop their cargoes of minerals. Perhaps the greatest and most continuous addition to the ocean is carried by water. It is estimated that about 0.82 meter depth of water evaporates on the average over the whole ocean each year. Again, redundancy, 1958. This vapor, which is pure water with no minerals, rises in the air and is blown about the earth by wind and is precipitated as a rain. If we assume that 29.27% of it falls on land, there is then 22 inches of rainfall over all the land of the earth. This water erodes and washes away the soil, which is carried as mud and silt down the brooks, creeks, and rivers back to the ocean. Part of it seeps into the ground to some depth, dissolving out soluble materials, issuing again in springs, natural springs, geysers, and artesian wells, and returning with its dissolved and suspended substances to the sea, where again leaving its load of minerals in the ocean, it returns to the land for more. Let's go a couple more minutes. Thanks for your patience. We're at about 17 minutes. The most soluble substances go soonest and most completely. Whatever increases solubility also increases the impoverishment of the land and the enrichment of the sea. Among the most soluble compounds are nitrates, the halogen compounds, the chlorides, iodides, bromides, also sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and others. The less soluble substances, such as silica or sand, and the clays or alumina, are left behind. It is these less soluble materials which are now the bulk of our soil. Back in 1958, and there's degrading degrees of that to now. I'm going to stop it there. We'll continue in my audio shows getting into the kelp. Here, before we leave, okay, so I was like 8 years old. I read the book the first time, 8, 10, however old I was, semantics. I read it again probably, I don't know, 18, 20 years later when I embarked into a career, not quite into the career of selling kelp yet. When I was 20, I was about 28, I think, when I started doing it. So I started a career with kelp because I was always fascinated by the ocean, and I've imbibed in it forever. I've given it to my own animals, and I was blessed in both human and animal genres. It was the product, and the parent company that it was derived from, Thorben Kelp, still to this day, that's alive and well, and there's no better supplier of on the face of this earth. And as pristine as it can be from Iceland, it still is. And iodine, we've talked and talked about it, is so key to the human body. And kelp is so prevalent in so many products that you have to be vigilant that it's extremely well represented in cosmetics, foodstuffs. So it's, you can OD, not OD pass away, but your body, you can get too much iodine. And then there goes the wraps that, you know, people that don't quite follow the bouncing ball just make reckless abandon. It's because it's in everything, and you have, it's actually a congealing gel in Jell-O. And Jell-O is a factory brand name. It's gelatin. We've also been conditioned with name brand. Jell-O is a marketing name brand. And we'll talk about all those things in marketing and 101 and all that at the business show. I'm retired. And we'll talk about there was no Mrs. Fields and there was no Famous Amos. They were actors depicting a role way back when. Part of the brainwashing that we talk about. Through media, television, all of it. So it's food for the mind, the body, and the soul. That's what we do. That's how we do it. It's holistic healing. Astute audience, you know who this is directed to. I do this all the time. And we do that just like we do everything. I've often talked about this is a free. We don't kill anything in this house. Wasps. I've been multiple stung. There's stories, videos. We open the door, Grandma and I, and we escort those vermin. They're vermin, right? Field mice and all of that out the door. Well, we open the proverbial door for the vermin that isn't of the human persuasion that's penetrating all of us every day. Astute audience, you know whom this is directed to. There's no reason for anybody to be at any of my shows. Unless they're into what the subject matter is clearly outlined, the titles, the preludes, and all of them. Thus is why I'm organic. Thus is why I love it, because the subject is organic. You couldn't be any more organic than this. What you see is what you get. And the subject matter is about true organics and has been all along the way. And I'm still the junction box for sure, the porcelain junction box. That is my forte. And it's nothing about me. I'm not even the messenger. I'm not even the messenger, and I'm certainly not the message. I'm the junction box that puts you in touch with the expertise of authors, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, Main Street, Portland, Maine, Main Street, USA, Main Street around the world. Continue paying it forward. We're blessed to be members of many large intuitive groups that go hand in hand. We're also trying to change those old mindsets, broken down systems worldwide that are disintegrating right before our very eyes. Calmly, peacefully, communally, arm in arm. And that's through the being a history buff, the history of mankind. That's how you beat a bully forever and ever. Dictators, czars, dicks, queens, kings, whatever they are, around the world. With peaceful, calm, serenity together, rejuvenating brick and mortar stores, home-based businesses, legacies, new technologies. We're at a precipice in time that if we get on the backside of the ripples in the water, the theater, and not to minimize the volatility and all of that, have faith, stay together. We get on the backside of this, the reserves are coming, and that's the legacy. That's who's going to save all of this. There is no savior coming out of the woodwork on the immediate horizon. We stay together. We get through the turbulence. We get on the backside of it. Bette Davis, this isn't Fear Factor. Bette Davis, it's going to be a bumpy ride. It's going to be a bumpy ride. There's going to be lots of ripples in the water, don't you think? Do the Love Boat. Do the Captain Steubing. Me goofing around. Let them maneuver the boat. Gopher takes care of what's going to the right. And I think it was Barney, the bartender. Look it up, with all due respect. Let them worry about the left. Love Boat, pun intended. Okay. We're almost at 20 minutes. If you're still here, God bless you. But it's important. Pay it forward. Interact. We grow together. Thrive Alive to Survive. We'll be talking about my survivalist shows that have gone back, not podcast-wise, since 1995. Blog, vlogs,